everybody. Hallelujah. Good to be on the inside tonight, isn't it? Amen. Especially since the thunderstorm came up. We appreciate you coming out on a Father's Day night, a night where we're just going to get together and fellowship a little, maybe have some singing, maybe have some of those who maybe want to leave a memory, maybe a story, or just a fond time with their father, whether he's living or whether he's already gone on to glory. Somebody might just like to share. We're going to open that up like we did this last year, and it was kind of nice. It was kind of really, really good to go down memory lane to remember those fathers. So you'll be thinking about it, and you'll have your opportunity. But right now, let's turn to page number 116. Let's get our singing started with Getting Ready to Leave This World. 116. Have our special singing. I'll give you an opportunity between each song if someone wants to come or stand wherever you are and give us a memory of your dad, a fun time, a sad time, whatever you want to do, and just we'll honor our parents tonight with that. Brother Rowdy, would you ask the Lord to bless this offering tonight for his work?
Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you, Lord. We thank you for your love, Lord God. We ask you, Lord, to bless you.
Amen. would love to hear one tonight from Brother Art. I know he's in the sound booth, but maybe he can be thinking of a song that he can do for us tonight. Brother Jim, if you'll have a song ready for us tonight as well, okay?
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee.
Says honor your father and mother. Amen. And that's something we should do every day, not just on two special days out of the year.
not saying.
The silver. That's what he
I didn't say anything about my dad, or I'm not saying anything about my earthly father, but I really feel like I should say something about my heavenly father. I have been through craziness these past 2 years, and I've kind of isolated myself in a way and just try to deal with things in my own way, but that's not the way God sees fit, right? So I don't have anything to brag about my earthly father, but I have so much to brag about my heavenly father. And yes, I just want to thank him for bringing me through some crazy mess and always loving me and always being steadfast and always being constant. I'm so glad that the same God that brought the Israelites out and the same God that spoke with Moses and the same God that spoke with Abraham is the same God that speaks to me and loves me. So I just want to thank him for not giving up on me when I wanted to give up on myself and when I wanted to give up on life. He still loved me. So I just want to thank God for that.
What a beautiful song. What a beautiful testimony. Amen. Our Heavenly Father surely needs to be honored and praised at all times. Would anybody like to volunteer at this time? Stand and say something about your father. Come on, Brother Riley.
I will. This is kind of off the wall. As soon as you said it this morning, my mind went here. My dad built his own house. He never had a mortgage. But my daddy was a perfectionist, and it would drive us crazy sometimes. I watched him rebuild a wall 3 times inside the house. You know, everybody else was pulling their hair out, but that was just dad. That's the memory that comes back to me. But as we built that house, he made us boys a part of that. We helped build that house. And we knew what it was to complete something and do something right. And that's the one thing that daddy did have right back then, you know, before he became saved. But he taught us that. He taught us, if you're going to do it right.
Amen.
And that wall will always stand out in my mind because he built it and tore it down 3 times and get it perfect. And if he didn't know how to do something, he would read a book and teach him how to do it.
Amazing.
It took him 3 years, but he built his own house. That's my memory of my
dad. Amen. You know, many of us have been satisfied with the wall, just built it the first time, but he saw something that wasn't right and kept doing it until he got it right. That's good. All right. Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to say that when you first started and you asked if anyone else anything about their dad, I said, I don't know. You know, my dad, my mom was the ruler of the house back then. We grew up in the 40s and 50s. But the more I thought about it, I said, you know, I couldn't help but remember when he always told me that when he grew up, they were sharecroppers. Every year they had to go to a different place. So he was determined when he got to an adult, he was going to have a little house. So he bought our house when I was in Gay Dick. And we stayed there. But and he had a little land, so he decided to be a farmer. Three little girls. So he didn't do much farming. But anyway, like there was no jobs really for people back in those days out in the country. So he had a little business on the side that started at the head of the ranch. Some of you may know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
He raised us.
Amen. And you always had plenty of spring tonic. Had plenty of spring tonic around. Yeah. Brother Jim, come. Come and sing for us.
Test. All right, well, let me share a little bit about my dad. I lost my dad 28 years ago. And at the time, he was 63, which I thought was real old, you know, 63. I was 41. I said, man, he's old. But I've learned over the years that's not old. 63 is young. But my dad was a hardworking man. He wasn't, I call the typical dad. He's a very compassionate, very loving man. And his priorities was to provide for the family. And he worked, and he traveled, and he worked, and he traveled. So there was no dad for me to play ball with or none of that stuff. You know, he wasn't into that. But one thing my dad did do, and I was sharing this the Friday morning with the other men, is that when he had the spare time, he'd take me and my brother, and we'd throw us in the car, and he'd always take us places. Wasn't no amusement parks. No. He didn't care for that. It was either state parks, monuments, and he wanted to always try to teach us things that he felt was valuable to us. And wanted to teach us history about our country. And he was very good about that. But we were never very close. And then, back in the early 80s, he had a massive heart attack and his health started going down. And I was living in California. And my mom kept calling and telling me how bad he was. So I left my job, left my home there, and moved back to take care of my dad. We never were really still close. But the last 2 years, I took care of him. I did everything for him. Instead of putting him in a home, I made sure that I was going to do and provide, because he always provided for me. When I needed something, he was there. When I needed advice, he was there. But there was one thing always missing throughout my whole life with him. Like I said, he was compassionate. He was comparing. If he shook your hand, you had a friend for life. And you could call on him for anything. But still, there was something missing. And after he had his heart attacks and he was forced to retire, I told him, I said, you need to slow down and start living. And about a year after that, he told me, he says, I'm miserable. I said, why? He says, I don't know. There's something missing in my life. I'm miserable. So I hadn't seen him in probably 8 or 9 months. I went down to visit him. I had moved him from Jacksonville to a little town called Mount Vernon, Georgia. Boy, is it little. And one Sunday, we was visiting him. He says, will you go to church with me this morning? And I looked at him, and I about fell out of the breakfast table. Go to what? He says, will you go to church with me this morning? He was never, now, he went to church. He played the role. He went to church, and, you know, he'd come in, he'd sit, and he'd clap, and he'd pay his tithes, but never took it really to heart until now. And I went to church with him, and I'll tell you what, had the best experience of my life with him. The man couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. But when he stood up and sung next to me that Sunday morning, I had chills all over me. And the other thing that really just tore me apart was when the end of the service, when the pastor called, had an altar call, he was the first one to get up and walk to that altar. It was like, Lord, have mercy. God can do anything.
Yes, he can.
But the last 2 years, I took care of him, and I watched over him and everything. And it got down to the last 6 months or so. He put on a lot of weight, and I got where I couldn't hardly handle him. And he'd always tell me, son, I sit here and pray every night, the Lord take me home because I'm a burden on the family. And I said, no, you're not. He says, yes, I am. And he got to the point, which I didn't want to do it, but I had no choice. I had to put him in a nursing home. He was in there exactly. I put him in on Tuesday. The following Sunday, went to visit him. Sunday afternoon, spent about 4 hours with him. Sunday night, I rolled him to his room. And I asked him, I said, Dad, is there anything I can do for you? He says, can you put me in the bed? And I said, sure. So I manhandled him, got him up, put him in the bed. He looked at me and says, thank you, son. I appreciate that. I just said, well, you know, you're welcome. I'm just doing what I feel is necessary. Turned around and told him, I said, I'll see you first thing in the morning. He said, well, wait a minute. And he done something then that he had never done in my entire life. He looked at me and he said, son, I love you. 41 years living with my dad, and he had never, ever said, I love you. And I walked up to him, walked over to bed, took his hand. I said, Daddy, I love you too. 5 o'clock the next morning, I got a call from the nursing home. He was gone. And I always said, was that what God was waiting for before we took him home? Never forget that in my life. So, you know, we just don't know what God has planned for any of us. But little things like that, it's what you really make you stop and think. I love you. Gosh, you know. Let me tell you something. I was as bad as him. Until then, you would never hear that out of me either. You know, I was one of those guys. I don't cry. No, 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 no. I don't shed no tear. No, no, no. Love? No, 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 no. That's sissy words. God took a hold and says, No, no. You are to love one another, and you are to speak of love. Thank God for that. Amen. I'm going to do a song that the last few months my dad was alive. He loved this song. I've done it quite a few times, but this was one of his favorites, so I'm going to do this in the memory of my dad. All right, Brother Art?
Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. Through the storm, through the night, lead me on. The light, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. When my way grows drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is all most torn. Hear my call, hear my prayer. All I want, precious Lord, take my hand, lead me home. When the darkness appears and the night draws near and the day is past and gone, by the river I'll stand, guide my feet, hold my hand, take my hand, precious Lord, lead me home. Precious Lord, take my hand, lead me on, let me stand. I am tired, I am weak, I am worn. The storm, through the night, lead me on to the light. Take my hand, precious Lord, lead me on.
Those memories are forever etched in our mind, you know. And just thank God for those precious moments that we have with our parents. Anyone else like to speak of their dad? Give a memory? Okay.
I will.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Mine's up. I'll keep it lighthearted. Of course, I had a wonderful dad. He was a very hard worker, a good Christian man. But I think he was a little jealous because my niece was born on my brother's birthday. So evidently, my dad was jealous of that. So when I was expecting Karen, she was due May the 8th. I was going in the hospital April the 30th to have her on May the 1st because I was having C-section. And so on April the 19th, my dad's birthday was April the 20th. So on April the 19th, he calls me early that morning and he said, "Hey, come over here and help me rake pine straw." I said, "What?" He said, "Come over here and help me rake pine straw." They had about 20 pines in the front yard. And I said, "You got to be kidding me. I'm pregnant. I'm about due, and you want me to come help you rake pine straw?" I said, "I'm not doing that." And I said, "Why are you even asking?" Because he had never asked me to help him do anything like that. He said, "Because I want you to go into labor and have that baby tomorrow on my birthday." So I said, "Well, you better be doing some serious praying, because I'm not coming in raking pine straw." Obviously, he prayed all night, because we were sitting in church on April the 20th, Sunday morning, and I went into labor and wasn't supposed to be in labor, sitting right over there. Brent went straight from here to the hospital, and they said, "You're not going anywhere." So about 2 o'clock, 2:13, Karen was born. So he got his wish. But my dad was a good Christian man and prayed, and it was obvious that he prayed a lot because he got his wish for that.
I remember it well, timing those extractions right over there. And she got very upset because she didn't get to go to lunch that day. That's what a wife will do. Of all the happiness of being born on her dad's birthday, the only thing I could hear out of her was, "I didn't get lunch today." So I tried to make that up to her ever since Karen was born. We try to make sure she gets her food. All right. Sister Lisa, you sing, and then Sister Lori, you come and speak. Was you going to sing or speak?
I love everybody here too much.
So you're going to speak. Okay. All right. Sister Lori.
This is my dad. I lost my dad about a year and a half ago, and I miss him, but I'm happy. I'm very happy he's not hurting anymore. Mom's doing well, so overall it's a blessing. But my daddy was a prankster. I like to think that I got that from him. Many pranks, and looking back at the pictures, and he worked at Verdine's, which is kind of like Rich's here. And there's pictures of him coming out of the bathroom, pulling his shirt up, he's got a big S on his chest. And, but the one that comes to mind was he played softball at Central Baptist Church. And we were coming home, parked in the driveway, and Dad always went in straight to the shower. And as me and my sister and my little brother went in with Mom, we found a little bra popping on the pavement. And I said, Mom, let's get this bra. You throw it in the shower with Dad. And we just thought that was going to be funny. We were sitting like, here, no evil, see no evil, see no, just like little monkeys on the bed waiting for Daddy to come out. So she did, and we sat on the bed and waited and waited and waited. And he came out of the shower and had his towel wrapped around his neck, and he said, what are y'all doing? We said, nothing. And that little booger, he had put it in his towel and flipped it out on us. But he constantly pulled pranks. He was a loving father. He didn't show it a lot until he hit 60 when his stuff started. And that just kind of changed him as far as he always hugged, but then he would kiss and show a lot more affection. But he was a good man. He would do anything for anybody. And I love him and I miss him, but I'm blessed to have had him as long as I do.
Amen.
Don't you love those little stories? Amen. Keep those stories alive for generation and generation, the little things that they do. It's good to have those wonderful memories. Anybody else would like to share a memory? All right. Thank you for sharing. And there are a lot of single mothers who've had to play both roles. And certainly that is no easy job whatsoever. As the statements get ready to sing, Brother Jim was talking about his dad. And, of course, Brother Jim and I spent some time together. And I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this. But I got asked, was it your dad or your granddad that was the car painter?
Granddad.
And your grandmother was a preacher. And the granddad was kind of a laid-back guy. Granny was pretty fiery, really fiery. He's told me some stories about that. Was it an old Buick they drove?
No, it was an old 52 Ford.
Old 52 Ford. Pretty beat up. Okay. And him being the wonderful husband that he is, while she was gone, he decided that he would paint her 52 Ford. And make it a little bit more attractive. So he goes to the barn or the shed to see what kind of paint he has. And lo and behold, what he has the most of is some hot pink house paint. and a brush. And he's so proud of himself because he has painted that 52 Ford a hot pink and so tickled when she comes. What have you done? And why did you paint it pink? And him being the lead, that's the most paint I had. And the rest, they say, is history. Anyway. So, yeah.
Guess what she did?
Took the
taxi. Took the taxi.
I wish we could have a picture of hot pink 52 for me. All right.
Oh, awesome. Praise
the
Lord.
Got Carter on the drums tonight. Give him a hand.
Oh, praise the Lord. I think if there was one word that described my dad, it would be hyper. Hyper. Poor man lived with five women. And he could outwork any three men that I ever knew. And he stayed outside a lot. Wonder why. But he was a wonderful dad. And he taught me how to shoot a gun and a bush hog and light a pilot light and prime a well pump and everything that he knew he wanted to teach us, and that's what he did. And then came the chicken houses, and I'm not talking about throwing out a little feed to a few chickens. I'm talking 30,000 chickens at a time. And he taught us all how to do that too. And I have said that he has fired me from working in the chicken houses before, but it only lasted a day because nobody else would do it. And he's at home with the Lord now. And this song is called My Home. Y'all worship with us as we sing. It's a long and dusty road, but my feet are traveling on. And sometimes the fountain dark and blows. Walk the straight and narrow way to preach.
Say something about Jennifer's dad, because he was like a dad to me too. When we were dating, and this is jovial, you know, you don't have to look serious, this is going to be a fun one. We were just dating, and I knew early on, I said, this is not the guy to play with. You know what I mean? I mean, he kind of let me know, we got to be good here. So he was, like Jennifer said, he was everywhere all the time on the farm. You never knew where he was going to show up. So one late afternoon, I said, you know what? And it was dark, dark. I mean, you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. I said, let's just take a blanket and go out here under this big oak tree, throw our blanket on the ground, and we'll just have a little romantic time here on the ground. And all of it, and I mean dark, dark. No, you can't see your hand dark. And I hear this tractor. And this tractor's coming. And this tractor's coming closer and closer and closer. And I said, my God, I said, we're fixing to get run over. So we're grabbing blankets and everything that we had running. And while the tractor was still going, this is what I heard. Jennifer! And I thought, oh, God. And she said, I was going to say, don't say nothing. And she said, yes, get to the house. And I grabbed blankets and I was running to the truck faster than feet could carry me. I mean, I was going. And all the way I said, how did he know? How could anybody know? It's pitch black dark. The tractor's going. And I learned right then, I said, daddies know everything. So that man earned my respect that day before I got married.
Thank you.
missed anybody tonight?
Sure. My father lived to be 89 years old. His mother had 8 children. And 4 boys and 4 girls, isn't that great? But anyway, I remember my dad was a very educated man. He was. But he taught all of his children so much. I remember times in the summer, in the evening, sometimes he'd be working. He was in the auto repair business. They had a place right up here. But anyway, he would teach me how to do things under the car. And me being a girl, I thought that was a big deal, you know, that daddy showed me how to fix cars. So anyway, I learned a lot that way. And another thing, he takes off fishing. He loves fish. And he showed us so many things that common people do. Brother, he had a lot of common sense. He loved people. I never remember him talking bad about people. And he always taught me to respect others as you want them to respect you. And one more thing, we didn't always go to church when I was little. But Mother was always a Christian, and when we got a chance, we would go. But I remember getting ready on Sunday mornings, polishing our shoes, dressing up, and we'd go riding around. And in the meantime, he'd have a radio on, and it was always gospel music. He loved gospel music. He may not have come to church much, but he was saved when he was a younger man. But Brother Eddie never hindered my mother from serving God.
Praise.
I remember when I was like in my 20s, and me and Mother would go to church, and I'd come home, and I'd take her home. She never drove a car. I had to drive her, you know. Some of the kids had to drive her wherever she went. But I remember many times I'd get out of the car, and I'd take Mother to the door, and my face would be so red from crying and praising God at church. And he'd say, why did it hurt so bad to go to church? And I'd say, Daddy, it don't hurt. That's that good hurt. I'd be praising the Lord. But he was always, you know, he would make a little joke about something he didn't quite understand. But, you know, I thank God that through the years he taught me so much about life. And yes. I love him. I love him, and I know that he was ready to go, because soon before he went, my sister Barbara kept him for 2 years, and he loved his gospel music. And he told her, he says, you know what? I think I'm okay. So I thank God for that and for the peace of the Lord.
Amen. Sure, amen.
So I love him.
Thank God for that peace.
Amen.
Nothing for pastor. Not to overlook anybody else before we dismiss tonight. We want to thank you for being here. Thank you for coming and sharing those wonderful memories. Those are memories that can never be taken away from you. So just really, really be thankful for those. Thankful for your mom, your dad. Your dad's still living. Give him a hug every once in a while. My dad's already gone home to be with the Lord. I miss him every day. I miss him every day of my life because he was so much a part of my life. But when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that's going to be. So if you'd stand tonight, we'll be dismissed. Again, thank you for coming. I know it's a little out of the ordinary, but I knew a lot of people would be spending time with their folks today, and a lot of people told me that they would and wouldn't be able to be here tonight. So with this prayer, we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we love and thank you, God, for your many blessings. We thank you for this day, this time of fellowship, God, that we've been able to gather together tonight. Father, we're thankful for our dads and our mothers. Lord, we're thankful for the wonderful memories and those that are still here. Father, we just praise you for them. Lord, we ask you now to be with us, Lord. Protect us, lead us, guide us, and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Help us to be thankful, Lord, for all your many blessings. We do remember those who are sick tonight. So many are suffering and so many are afflicted. Father, we pray for their welfare and their healing. Pray, God, that you'd be with those caretakers that are being there with them. And just have your will and way, and we'll give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Jesus.